hi, everybody. Good morning. I'm Jeff. I'm one of the pastors. And hello, online community. Glad you guys are with us this morning. I say this all the time. I'm always like, that was worth the price of admission. That was so good already. Like, that's all I need. I just need that. What are we, 9:23? Like, that's it. 23 minutes. Let's have a bagel. Do we have bagels today? But I'm going to have us do a little Bible study today, okay? So grab a Bible, put it in your lap, and we're going to turn. Guess where we're going to turn? Anybody know? Why are you laughing? Yes, Romans 12. It's exactly where we're going to be. Anybody have the page number memorized?
1137.
Okay, thank you. Was that memorized, actually, Calvin?
Yeah.
Nice. 1137. So we are going to be in Romans 12 again today. We're talking about living the transformed life. You know, as a child of the, I was a child of the 60s and the 70s. And then I kind of came of age in the 80s, right? So that's my era. And because of that, I was fully steeped in the self-image, self-help, self-actualization like era, which is why the boomers are so self-consumed. Like we were, this was the beginning of your self-image being the thing that was so important. That was the beginning of it, and then it wrecked all the kids from there every generation since. But I was so a part of that. And so because of that, I'm drawn to all those things. Like I can tell you that I'm a 3 on the Enneagram. I can tell you my top 5 strength finders. I'm a maximizer, a wooer, a strategic, and like I got all of them. My core question is, am I good enough? Like I got all of it. I got all of it. I know all, name and inventory, I could give you my score. Myers-Briggs, ESPN. Is that one? I don't know if that's one. Thank you, that's a little joke I stole from somebody. I know all that stuff. That was the era that I grew up in. And it permeates because we somehow instinctively know, you guys, that our self-concept, our self-image, our perception of who we are is actually really, really important. Don't you agree? And that would be a biblical thing, that who we are before God, who we are with God. And I just want to tell you as a little spoiler alert where we're headed as we get into Romans 12, verse 3, where we're headed is to say, actually, it is really important how you conceive of yourself and how you perceive yourself and what your image of yourself is as we walk the Christian journey. I might even go so far as to say, your identity in Christ, your identity as a follower of Jesus, your identity as one of God's creation may be of paramount importance in your spiritual journey. Ready to dig in and see what we're going to find in this thing? We're going to, we have been in Romans 12. This is what, by the way, you saw that we sort of wrapped up. Was it just last week that Steve Finkbinder, the neuroscientist, was here? Was that just last Sunday? So we kind of wrapped up one of those sections. We have 3 sections of our fall series around Romans 12. And the first one is verses 1 and 2, and that's about being transformed. And we wrapped that up with that really creative conversation with a scientist around neuroplasticity and the way our brains work, that we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. And now we're going to move into a second section, you guys, where we're going to talk about, with that transformation, we also are gifted and equipped and called to do his will. In fact, let's look at a review. This is where we kind of landed after the first section. We'll talk about the third section when we get close to it. You want to read the text first? That's a good idea. Let's do that. Oh, well, here's where I'm going to go. We're going to want to talk about thinking of ourselves with sober judgment. This is what's in the text, and we're going to get there in just a minute. That was what my title is. Let's review. Here's the text, and we'll read into verse 3 that I'm going to preach on. We'll do a quick review, and then we'll do some Bible study. I'm actually going to come down and walk around, and we'll let you guys engage in the text too. How close are you to getting this memorized, by the way? It's getting good. You probably should memorize it. That would be really fun to have, and it's part of our transformation is when we practice scripture like that. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, let's keep that in view, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. This is what we're called to do. That's verse 1. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed, be changed by the renewing of your mind. And then what happens? Do you remember? You'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. We'll be able to know God's will, his good and his pleasing and his perfect will. And then we get to verse 3. For the grace of God given, for by the grace of God given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you. I'm going to read it one more time. For by the grace given me, Paul says to the Romans, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you. So you see where I'm going, that we're going to talk about that it may be paramount. Our identity of who we are is maybe paramount in our spiritual journey. That's my theory. That's my thesis today. And so we're going to want to dig in a little bit. First, a little bit of a review of where we've been. This is it, that you can be transformed and know God's will. Somebody say amen. You can be transformed. That's, he promises it. And we've talked about that for several sermons. And you can know God's will. That's the result of it. Then you can know God's will. Oh, that's what we long for, to be led, to know God's plan for our lives, to be in the midst of, like, I know what God has for me, and I'm not lost any longer. That's what we're longing for, right? So you can be transformed, you can know God's will, amen and amen. Then this is some things that we learned. A, it's God's will that you should be sanctified. That's it, that you should be made holy. I don't have time to re-preach that message, but that idea that the core thing is that God is like, I want to make you more and more into the likeness of Christ. It's what you were made to be. That's going to be you in your glory. So this is God's will, to transform you and to be more like his son. And then it's God's will that you could know, as we said, that you could know his leading in that sanctification, that you could actually follow him day in and day out and have a relationship with him. And then now this is where he's going with it. It's God's will that each of us is going to live as his servants, using the gifts that he's given us. I'm actually not going to get a ton into gifts this week. I'm going to start that next week. Ben's going to take us further the week after that. But this is where we're going with this whole thing. You can be transformed to know God's will. You're knowing his will to be more like his son, knowing his will so that you can follow him daily, and knowing his will so that you can live out of your giftedness for him. Because listen, you guys, this isn't just about, oh, aren't you blessed? Isn't that sweet? Isn't your heart warm and filled? This is about being part of God's plan, and that's why he's going to now move in to gifts. So let's dig into the text a little bit. I'm going to come down there, and we're going to study a little bit. Let's read verse 3 again one more time. Read it. Let's all read it together. Then I'm going to read it one more time after that even. So verse 3 together. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you. Now, here's what we're going to do today. My points are very simple. They're literally the lines of the text, and I want to dig in a little bit, and I'm going to ask a couple of questions, and I'm hoping that you'll jump in and have a conversation with me. And high school students, we're glad you guys are here. I love it when you guys also ask questions, so feel free to participate, okay? That'd be awesome. All right, so first thing that we want to look at is this first phrase, because it's an introductory phrase. It's, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you. This is how Paul starts it. And we don't want to skip this. We're like, what's he going to say? What's the point? What's he going to say? But just looking at this first phrase, anything that jumps out to you immediately, as good Bible study students, when you go, okay, this is his first line, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you. Put your power of observations in place and give me some things. Yep, Randy.
He is speaking with authority.
Okay, he's speaking with authority, he says. Yeah, Greg.
He's including all of us.
He's including all of us. Good. Yeah, really good. Was that you, David?
Same thing, that the Gentiles and the Jews were struggling, and he was trying to straighten that out, and he was addressing the whole group as one.
He's addressing the whole group in their struggles, everybody. Yep. 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 God gave him authority to speak. God's the one that gave him that authority. That, good observation. Yeah. So this is really good when you start looking at this. Any other ones you're like, oh, how do we not say this?
Paul.
Yeah, Michael.
Paul was given the grace knowing that he probably didn't deserve it.
Okay, Paul was given grace knowing that he probably didn't deserve it. He used the word grace. Yeah, he was.
Same idea that he's kind of saying, you know, because of God's grace to me that I'm even able to bring
because of God's grace to me that I'm even able to bring this message to you. Now, this is so good, you guys, think about it. Where he's headed is talking about spiritual gifts. What he's about to say to them is, think of yourself in a sober way. Think of yourself in a right-minded way. And he's going to go on to say, because you have gifts and calling that are yours, but he starts and leads with his gifting. Do you know that this word grace, he says, for by the grace, by the grace given me? You know the word grace is the same root word as the word gift. Do you know that? So grace is charis, and gift is charisma. And it really can be almost interchangeably translated in a way. So he could be saying, hey, by the gifts that I have, I'm going to talk to you guys. And then what we know later is all about gifts. By my gift, I want to talk to you about gifts. By the grace that's on me, I want to talk about the grace that is on you. Do you get it? So now he's defining this. And what does that mean? What does grace mean? I mean, both charis and charisma, both grace and gift, mean the same thing. It is something freely given to us. So now we're beginning to define spiritual gifts, which we'll talk about more in the next 2 weeks. But we're beginning to see that what he's saying is, oh, this is all about God's work that is given to you. Now remember the context, as part of being transformed, as part of knowing God's will, and then as part of living it out. So that's where he's headed, for the grace given me. Now, some of you, so insightful. Somebody spoke about authority. Over here, you affirm that God gave him that authority. Before we ever get into where this message is going and the rest of the text, it is so powerful to us, you guys, and a little foreign to start to hear somebody be super confident about who God made them to be. And he's talking about it's a free gift, so already there's a humility to it, right? But it's kind of cool to see this confidence. I want you to look at a couple other verses where Paul talks about his calling, because I wanted to ignite something in you when you begin to think about the grace that's on your life. Because part of this message today is going to be about, are we walking in the confidence that God has given us? Because what did I say? Your identity and your gift and your calling is fundamental, paramount in your spiritual journey. So turn with me really quick in your Bibles, a couple pages over to to Romans 15. Romans 15. Oh, and I even have it up on the screen if you want to see it up there. 15 verses 14 and following. In studying, I saw this and I'm like, Paul, I love that humble confidence in this. And he's got a job to do. So he's like, I can't be given all these caveats and I don't know and maybes. Like, the Lord put a call on his life and he's stepping into it. So look at it with me, verse 14. I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness. And that's, by the way, he's buttering them up before he drops the hammer. Is that... You learn to do this in your reviews of those who report to you, right? You know what that's all about. That they say, this is what your parents do. They say something really nice to you about what you're doing well, but know what's coming is what's not so good. So here he is. So I'm convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge and competent to instruct one another. He goes, you got some competencies, yet, there's the yet. I have written quite boldly on some points to remind you of them again because, you following in with me? Of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. Next slide. He gave me the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. That's a lot of words. If you went back and read it quietly and slowly, you would see what he's saying is, look, I know you can instruct each other, but the Lord's called me to tell you some things. I have to say some stuff to you, and I have to do it because it's his grace. It's his gift that he gave me. It's the calling on my life to be a minister to the Gentiles. In verse 17, therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God, and I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done. Isn't that a cool passage? He's all, look, you guys could do this without me. You're smart. You can instruct each other, but God's put a call on my life, so I got to say what I got to say. That isn't just about popping off all the time, you guys, and opening your mouth and saying stuff. This is about his particular gift and calling that God put on his life. And he's unapologetic about it. And then he gets to the end and he's like, but I'm a glory in Christ Jesus. I'm not going to venture to speak anything but what he has given me to speak, what Christ has accomplished. That is so good. What a great view of that. And in kind of searching this, I found a couple others, but I just want to, and I don't want to, you know, whatever I was going to say, beat a dead horse. That's a terrible image. I don't want to beat this point to the ground. But look at, with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says another time he has a kind of a way to reflect on this. 1 Corinthians 15. What's the verse? 9 and 10. 1 Corinthians 15, 9 and 10. Here's the humility. You with me? Everybody got it? For I am the least of the apostles. Now, wait a minute. You think that's false humility? Why do you think he would say that? Anybody remember or know why he would say, I'm the least of the apostles?
Persecutor.
Because he, Yeah, Emily, thank you. He used to persecute the Christians. So he's just like, oh my gosh, like, you want to talk about human beings like that have pleased God? That would not be my story up to this point. Yeah, so, for I'm the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. Verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. Now, look at the words, for by the grace of God, I am what I am. He's not saying, for by the grace of God, I did what I did, and that was the story. He's saying, but by the grace of God, now I am what I am. Now, think about it. He's reflecting on his story, and he's like, I was the worst, and yet the gifts of God and the calling of God and the mercy of God have come on my life, and now I am something totally different, is his point. I'm the least of the apostles. I don't even deserve to be an apostle, but because of the grace of God, this is what I have now been given to do, and his grace to me was not without effect. Amen. There's no spiritual inferiority complex going there. He's like, he changed me. I was the worst. I deserve nothing, but he changed me. His grace of God was not without effect. No, and then this is the best. I worked harder than all of them. Okay, now. We've been taught, oh, it's all God. I'm nothing. I haven't done anything. Humility looks like, oh, forget about it. It's just, you know, when somebody goes, you did a great job, you go, oh, no, that's just all the Lord. Well, or that's the Lord's gift and grace and transformation, and you worked your tail off to live in line with what God put on your heart to do. Isn't that good? Yet not I, he goes, listen, don't get confused, but the grace, the gifting, right? The mercy that was on me. Isn't that good? All right, so where were we? Why did I even go down this path? Because that first point that we were just looking at, Paul starts the whole text by saying, for by the grace of God given to me, I say to every one of you. I just love it that he's illustrating the idea of what it looks like to live confidently out of gifts, because that's what he's going to say. I say to every one of you what? He's going to say some version of what he just illustrated by talking about his own story. And then, of course, I do love that you guys noticed that it says, I say to every one of you, and you notice that everyone is included in that. Everybody is going to be open to this message. Every one of us needs to hear it. Again, how you conceive of yourself, you guys, is of paramount importance, and that's what he's coming to. He's like, if you don't know the grace of God upon you, then you're not going to know the call of God on your life, then you're really not going to be living out the will of God that we just talked about is possible by the transformation of God. Was that too many words? Did you track that logic? I know a couple engineers, they tracked it. They were right with me. But I also know it's a lot of words. It's so important how we conceive of ourselves. Because if we don't know the gifts, the grace of God upon us, we won't know the gifts of God that are in us, we won't know the calling that God has for us, and therefore we won't be able to live out the will of God that he says is possible by the transformation that he has brought. So that's why it's so important for us. Good. All right, that's the first phrase. Ready to move on? I'll just stay here then. I'll stay here if you... All right, no, let's move on. Yeah. All right, number two, do not think of yourself then, he says, he starts the next phrase, this is what I'm going to say to you, and he starts with, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. He's going to go on to say the title of my sermon, but think of yourself with sober judgment, we'll talk about that in a second, he goes, but he starts with, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. What causes us, not you, but your neighbor, the person sitting next to you, what causes us to sometimes think of ourselves more highly than we ought?
Arrogance.
Okay, arrogance. And how would you define arrogance, Annie? Why?
It's all about you.
It's all about you. Good definition, yeah.
We believe our personal experience and perspective.
We believe our own personal experience and perspective, Liberty. We receive your confession, sister. That is awesome. Because we look and we go, hey, this is how it looks. This is how it ought to be. This is my understanding. And I land there. Yeah, good. Were you going to?
Sin.
Okay, sin. We have sin in our lives. What is sin? Define sin in that sense, Emily. What do you mean sin?
I think sometimes we just, I don't know, for me at least, sometimes I get too much in my head and I believe what my thoughts are, which not necessarily come from me, but from the enemy. So sometimes we are made to believe we are something that we're not.
Okay, so we have... Thank you. I don't mean to cut you off. I'm wanting to repeat so everybody can hear, right? So we have in ourselves, we still have that flesh at work, and our thoughts and our stuff can be not governed by the, all of them aren't governed by the Holy Spirit. We have to test all that and see, and we can end up believing something about ourselves that isn't God's perspective, and so we get off thinking maybe more highly than we ought. Yes?
Overconfidence.
Overconfidence. Where do you think overconfidence comes from? Oh, thinking you're better than someone else. There's always a comparison dynamic to thinking of yourself more highly than you ought. Bless you. That is money in the bank. When I ask the question, you know, his challenge is don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. And I ask the question, how come we sometimes think more highly than we ought? There's always a comparison dynamic to it. We're always judging somebody else and going, well, at least I'm not like that. Or judging somebody else and going, I would never be like that. And now we've begun to miss that where we are is the work of God in our lives, the grace of God, and we have our own strengths and weaknesses. And maybe you're right. Maybe your assessment's great. Maybe that you're further along than that person on that angle. But it blinds us to the fact that we got our own stuff. That is so good. Thank you for that insight. He says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. And he actually has a lot of Christians' experience with this. I mean, the Corinthians taught him that. When you go read about spiritual gifts in Corinthians, and those will be parallel passages that we'll take a look at when we get into studying what he says about spiritual gifts. But the Corinthians, remember, one of the things he famously told the Corinthians was, he goes, how can you, like the eye can't say to the hand... Remember when he talked about the image of the body? He said, I can't say to the hand, I don't need you. And that's that comparison piece where we look at other people and we're like, you know what? This is where arrogance comes from, you guys. This is the sin that Emily was talking about and the arrogance Annie was talking about. That we look and we go, you know what? Actually, I don't need other people. Thinking more highly of ourselves is that we don't need other people or, and that's just the lone wolf theory, or I don't need all the other people. I just need some of the people. And now we've broken down everything Jesus says about community and gifts, that it's a body and every part is needed and no part is more important than the other. Oh, this is so good. So do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, he says. It's always a comparison dynamic. Now, let's go to the second part of that phrase because it's important we go right there. But think of yourself with sober judgment. Think of yourself with sober judgment. The word sober judgment is one word in the Greek, and it basically means right thinking, be in your sound mind. And the reason they translate it sober judgment because it's exactly what you think. Like the opposite of this is someone who is intoxicated, and an inebriated person doesn't think well. They're not in their right mind. There isn't clear thinking. There's not right thinking. And even as I'm talking, people in this room who have experienced alcohol know what I'm saying, that there have been times. Well, you tell me, not for you, because you're fully temperate and sober-minded. How does somebody drunk think?
I can drive.
I can drive. I'm fine. I'm not a danger to others right now. So good. Yeah.
Confidently.
Confidently drunk. That's why people drink. They're like, I'm going to get my confidence on. Oh. Do you already feel dirty right now just thinking about this? Right? How else do non-sober people think?
Liquid courage.
Liquid courage.
Self-pity.
Self-pity. Is that what you said? Not aware of others' needs. Yeah.
Short-tempered.
Short-tempered. So good. This is why Paul uses this word. Think of yourself with sober judgment. Think of yourself not skewed. Think of yourself with truth in place. Think of yourself understanding what's really going on and not being blindsided by any misunderstandings. These are all things that Paul would say about that. So think of yourself with sober judgment. Now, not walking in humility can totally preach. And he went there. He said, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. So that's a thing. Thinking of yourself more highly is a form of non-sober thinking. And that will preach, right, all day long. So by the way, how do we make that stop? What is an antidote to thinking of yourself non-soberly in a way that, come on, bro. I'm so sorry that I was awkwardly in your row when you came back in. That's all on me. How do you come against thinking too highly, non-soberly, thinking too highly of yourself? What are some things that could do? Yeah, Hannah.
Turn your thinking outwardly to the Lord.
Turn your thinking outwardly to the Lord, not on yourself. Any tips for how to do that? Read the word, prayer, community. Thank you. Yeah.
Gratitude,
really good. Yep. What else? How else? Yeah.
Serving.
Diane.
Talk to one of your siblings. They'll be honest.
Talk to one of your siblings. Which is a really good form of community. Yeah. Anthony. Open-minded. Yeah.
Humility.
Confession. Okay. You know what you guys are listing? You're listing the classic spiritual practices of the church since the time of Jesus. And so what we're saying, and it always comes back to this, and we said it in verse 1 and 2 for how many weeks, that we practice spiritual disciplines so that we would be transformed in the way that we think. We're getting into God's word. We're getting into gratitude. We're getting into humility. We're getting into confession and opening our minds and not being like, this is the way that it is. All of that stuff, sitting before God with an open posture, all of those things change us. So that helps. Think of yourself with sober judgment. Yeah, were you going to say something?
Take pride in God's word.
Taking pride in God's word. That's it. Because God's word is the truth. And when we rehearse the truth, we get changed. Thank you. So I was going to say, preaching on, you know, thinking of yourself more highly than you ought can preach all day. But actually, this verse, think of yourself right-mindedly, also implies that we can think of ourselves less than we ought. He starts by listing the first one, because apparently some of those Christians he was writing to were thinking of themselves and comparing themselves with others and thought of themselves too highly, but we can also think of ourselves less than we should. Sober judgment, you guys, right thinking, clear-minded, is about looking at the truth. Oh, I've been graced. I've been gifted. I have a calling on my life, and I can't deny that and go, no, who am I? What am I going to do? Are you with me on this? So there's two ways in which we do not think soberly. One way is to think of ourselves more highly than we ought because we're comparing ourselves with others and we're self-centered and yada, yada. And the other way is to think of ourselves more lowly than we ought. And we're not accepting the grace that God has put on us and the call of God on our lives. So again, then we're not going to be living into his will. Which do you think is a bigger problem in today's world? And why? Anybody have any thoughts on that? Yeah, Diane?
I think it's more prevalent that we think less of ourselves. And I think the internet is to blame.
when the internet's to blame. She said, I think it's more prevalent that we think less of ourselves, and I think the internet is to blame.
I think it's both because of selfishness.
It's both because of selfishness. Yeah, Larry, you resonate with that as well? Anybody else have a thought on this? Yeah.
It goes back to what you said about comparison. We're always comparing ourselves.
Sorry, Kalani, say that again.
It goes back to what you said about comparison. We're always comparing ourselves.
Comparison, yeah. Yeah, you think that's, which one do you think is the case? Thinking less of ourselves?
Yeah.
Is because of the comparison. Yeah, yeah.
I feel like it's like a pendulum swing, and we just go from one extreme to the other.
It's a pendulum swing, and we go from one extreme to the other. I love the thought of think of yourself with sober judgment, clear thinking, because then we're going to know if we're thinking too highly or too lowly of ourselves. Now, let me give you the fourth one, and I need to wrap up, so I'm going to go up here. This fourth one, you guys, he says, think of yourself with sober judgment in this phrase, this qualifying phrase, in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you. In accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you. Now, look at that phrase. I needed to get there before I ran out of time because I want you to know this sounds like something it doesn't mean. This sounds like it means, okay, live with yourself a sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given you. Yeah, band, come on out, you guys. We're going to wrap up here in a minute or two. Think of yourself in sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you. You guys, this is an unfortunate translation. It sounds like it means this. You have been given whole bunch of faith and great gifts, and you're crushing it, so think well of yourself. You got the dregs, so stay in your lane, sister. That's what it sounds like, and that is not what it means. What it means is, in the most simple way to sort of retranslate it and sum it up, is it means this: your faith, in accordance with the faith, your faith provides the lens by which you see your identity and your giftedness in Christ. Your faith is going to provide the lens for your sober thinking. It just means the faith, not the faith God gave you, like this amount. You got 70% of what he gave you. That's not what it means and what it says. What it means is think of yourself with sober judgment in line with what you know to be true about the faith. Verse 1 is the key to unlocking the meaning of this. Brothers and sisters, I urge you, what does it say then? In view of God's mercy. This is like a sandwich between all of this language, between this idea of keep in view the truth of God. And that will keep you thinking soberly about who you are. And what is that truth of God? What are we really getting at here? It's that we will know that we've been saved by grace and the mercy of God has been on us and we've been gifted by God. And because of that, we've been transformed by the renewing of our mind when we're practicing these disciplines. And when we're transformed by the renewing of our mind, we're gonna know God's will. And when we're gonna know what God's will is for our life, we're gonna walk in service to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the great God, mighty and awesome. That's our whole goal. And I've been gifted and called and empowered to do that. And I can't not do it or I won't be in the middle of God's will. And it's not because of me, as Paul said, but the grace of God within me, and I worked harder than everybody else because I didn't want to miss it. So how do we think ourselves with sober judgment? It's to have the lens. Everything we do has the lens in view of God's mercy. It has the lens of God's calling and gifting and grace. Isn't it weird to have this ability to walk in confidence but not arrogance, to walk in humility but not have a low self-image or spiritual inferiority complex, but sober thinking is, nope, it's all God, but he gifted me, he called me, and I step out and I can be in the middle of his will and serve him with these gifts. In fact, I have to. It's part of his plan. Now, let me ask you these questions as I'm done. Ask yourself, church, this is where the rubber meets the road for us. Am I thinking of myself more highly than I ought? Or am I missing God's view? Or am I missing God's view of who I am? Which one resonates with you this morning as we come to God's word and we have to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us? Are there those that you judge? There's comparison going on in your life. There's arrogance born out of sin. You've forgotten God's mercy. And so you're thinking of yourself more highly than you ought. Then friends, I commend to you today the spiritual practices, rehearsing the truth about the mercy of God that has come to you, the salvation that you could never have accomplished on your own, the grace of God to make you who you are. Go back to those practices to reflect on that truth so that you might not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Maybe that's the takeaway for you. And maybe for others, there's that second part. Are you missing God's view of who you are? That to walk in confidence in who he made you to be and the gifts that he put on your life, you're like, yeah, I don't do that. Then I commend to you the work to begin to study with us in Romans on your own what the spiritual gifts are, how God has uniquely made you. Reflect with dear friends about the way that you impact for God's glory whatever room you walk into. And we'll help you with that. We're going to have resources as we go along. But maybe that's your takeaway. Like, I got to step up and be God's person, fully graced, fully called. Paul said, for the grace given me, I got to tell every one of you this. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. Implied, don't think of yourself more lowly than you should. But with sober judgment, get in the game. For this is the privilege of walking with Christ and serving him in the world as God calls you and ministers to you in that challenge today. I pray that he'd illuminate for you what he has for you. Let's stand together and even respond in a time of worship this morning.